an Unspoiled Network podcast.
This is Undeclared the Vampire Diaries, Season 4, Episode 10, After School Special. In this episode, Rebecca takes being a mean girl to a whole new level. Welcome to Undeclared.
My name is Elena Gilbert, and I'm a vampire. I'm learning how to survive, but there are complications. I know that I'm sire to you, Damon.
You know what makes me happy? That what you actually felt for me was real.
How together are they?
But there's hope now.
Tell him what the hunter told you the tattoo leads to.
He said there was a cure.
And we're not the only ones who want it.
I want to ram it down Niklaus's throat.
But uncovering it comes with a price.
What do you know about Silas?
He's the world's first immortal being who just happens to be imprisoned with the cure.
You said it yourself, right? Whoever finds the cure first gets to decide what to do with it.
So what do you say?
Partners?
The race for the cure has begun, and we'll stop at nothing to find it.
I was beginning to worry you boys wouldn't find the place.
Did you kill all these people?
Killing them is your job.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Jamie.
I'm Krista.
All right, Krista, so what did you think?
I mean, I was with Caroline pretty much the whole show. Like, I feel like she's the audience insert there.
Okay.
Just, oh God, stop. Don't make them say this. Oh God, no. Oh God, no. Don't. Why? Hey, your meltdown over your girlfriend not being your girlfriend is subsumed over my boyfriend's mother getting murdered in a horrible way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, go Caroline. You know how I am.
Yeah. I'm always Team Caroline.
And also, you saw the text that I sent you when I first started this.
About the new mayor?
Yes!
Yep.
Yes!
Do you only know him from that one or whatever episodes of Supernatural that he did?
He's also in the Magicians.
Oh, right. He is in the Magicians.
Yes. He's fantastic.
What is
his
name?
I didn't look it up because I didn't want to like spoil myself.
His name is Rick Worthy.
Okay.
And yeah, he's on Battlestar Galactica. He does a lot of genre stuff. I think he's probably a Canadian actor, but I don't know that for sure. But he has worked on a lot of shows that film in Vancouver.
Well, he's fantastic, and I love his voice, and I'm so happy he's on the scene.
Okay.
I'm saying this, and now I'm realizing he's going to die. Fuck. I mean, congrats to him for being a black guy who lasted an entire episode.
Yeah, he's not necessarily going to die.
He's going to die.
It's not like, I mean, he is the third mayor we've seen, technically. But it's not like a mayor dies every season or whatever.
I mean, every season and a half?
No, we're in season 4. Tyler's dad died in season 1. Did he not?
I don't care. Sorry. I was going to say I don't remember, but I was like, let's be honest.
I think it was season 1. And then now his mom died in season 4. So that's a pretty good run for her.
Yeah. Well, she got to stay alive that long. And, you know, parents in the town, once your kid hits puberty, you're done.
Seemingly.
Yeah. Except for somehow Bonnie's dad came out of nowhere.
Yeah. Well, I have thoughts. Why don't you give your recap?
Okay. As I said, first things first, yay for Bonnie's dad because he's an actor I adore. He should do all the voiceovers Keith David can't. The end. As for the episode, we start with a memorial service at the school for Carol. Tyler, for some reason, is at school. These kids skip school constantly, and the kid whose mom just died is sitting through some hokey memorial slash introduction of her replacement? I guess Tyler really doesn't have any family or guardians to take care of him. Good job on that last part, Carol. But Tyler is handling this kind of shit about as well as anyone should be expected to do. And undaggered Rebecca conscripts April into helping her snatch Elena, who is held hostage in the library. Rebecca, who is relying on April's knowledge of the inner drama of our gang, is using Elena as bait for Stefan. Stefan asks Caroline for help, and they try to pull one over on Rebecca, but she captures them both as well. She quickly finds out that Stefan and Elena aren't together, and Elena finds out that Stefan knows she slept with Damon. Now here's the part where I'm tired of this Cure bullshit. Elena, under compulsion, says she loves Damon and is not with him because of the sire bond. Can we just skip forcing the Cure down her throat now? Let Rebecca have it. Get out of her way. But Rebecca does the unforgivable. She brings Cole back into the mix. I fucking hate that guy. And he captures McSleazy, whom I hate less than Cole. Then Rebecca hurts Stefan with the truth some more. Yawn. She gets Tyler in the mix and compels him to turn so he'll kill everyone. Bonnie, always coming to the rescue, comes to rescue McSleazy and puts a protection spell on him. She accidentally links him to April, and she gets whatever Cole is dealing out on the professor to happen to April. Cole is freaked because he doesn't want Silas to be released. I agree with Cole. Clearly, Silas is the worst. Once Cole leaves Shane for dead, the vamps find Bonnie and April, and Stefan gives April vamp blood. Bonnie and April head out of Dodge while Rebecca offers to swipe Stefan's memory away of Elena, which Stefan agrees to, but psych! She didn't really mean it. For some reason, after she releases everyone, she answers Stefan's call and agrees to team up with him to get the Cure. April finds Liz and Bonnie's dad, who have been talking this whole time at a restaurant about vampires. She tells them Shane killed her dad and the other town council members. So that's the thing. Oh, were Damon, Jeremy, and Matt during all this? Damon is doing what he said, training Jeremy so he can kill vampires and not die. I don't really get this because you could just tie up vampires for him and let him stab them.
Okay, Klaus. Make...
What?
Is that okay, Klaus?
Why make him better at killing, you know, what you all are? Elena gives Damon a call after her ordeal, and he tells her to come to him. But he's still hell-bent on this Cure because it probably doesn't make for a healthy relationship. Fine. Anyway, Klaus has shown his face and lacks patience per usual. He ends up turning townspeople to give Jeremy vampires to kill. And we find out that Damon gave the okay because he brought the boys to the bar where all the newbies are in transition. Dun, dun, dun. What a miss.
Nothing.
Okay, so as for the Klaus thing, find bad vampires and feed them to Jeremy. Very simple.
I guess they're just really, I mean, first of all, they're out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
In this cabin. I guess there really aren't any around, and I see what Damon is trying to do. He's trying to get Jeremy to be able to protect himself because vampires are very strong and very fast, and he's untrained. He's stronger now than he used to be, but he's still not strong enough to fight off Damon.
Yeah.
So I get it. I get what Damon's doing. I also get Klaus's point that you just don't want to disappoint his sister, so you're not doing what needs to be done. Does that mean turning all the townspeople into vampires? Not really.
No. But I wasn't going down that road.
What are they supposed to do? Like, go on a road trip and, like, find the vampires? They don't all sense each other.
No, but, like, it's not too hard to figure out. They went and tracked Stefan and Klaus.
True. But Stefan was leaving pretty clear markers that Damon knew to look for.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, if he said, hey, Liz, we want to take out vampires that could hurt people. Can you help us find them? She'd be like, let me use my police resources to figure this out. I would be happy to get rid of vampires that kill people.
That's not as fun to watch.
It just makes more sense. If you're worried about him getting killed, the best thing to do is just bring him, like, half-dead vampires and let him just, like, do the end.
I do have a question about the end. And I was going to save this until the end, but we might as well just talk about it now.
Okay.
So all these people are in transition. Klaus has fed them blood, killed them, and they're waking up. Doesn't that mean that they're not vampires yet?
Yeah, don't they have to drink human blood? I bet you he uses Matt.
I can't confirm or deny that that happens, but my question as far as this goes is they're not vampires. So even if Jeremy goes around and kills all these people, they're not vampires yet.
Yeah.
So I need to know the rest of this plan. Because I can't imagine Matt or Jeremy or Damon even sitting around and letting these newbie transition vampires kill a bunch of people so they can become vampires for Jeremy to chase.
Or Klaus let one stay human and compelled him to feed them when they wake up or something.
Maybe. But we're supposed to be like, oh my god, this bar is full of vampires. But it's not. They're people who haven't drank blood yet. Unless Klaus goes around and compels all of them immediately to then drink this blood from a blood bag.
Yeah.
Like, maybe that would work. But really, you should have just done that and then compelled each one of them as you did it to sit still.
Yeah.
We just saw Rebecca doing this with other vampires. So there's precedent that even if we forgot that was something they could do, now we remember.
Yeah. I don't, like, none of this makes sense. Why do we have to make it dangerous? Why?
Klaus is very extra about everything. It's part of his charm and part of his, like, impulsiveness and irritability. Like, part of what I love about him, part of what I don't like about him is that he's, like, overly dramatic.
Oh my god, like, to a level that that no high school has met, and that is saying something.
He's a lot. He's the definition of extra.
Oh god. He's extra with a side of fries.
Yeah. But it's kind of what I love about him.
I won't deny that he isn't entertaining. I find him most entertaining when he's just being snarky on the side, honestly.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh yeah, watch this. This is going to be hilarious.
There's a lot of things I like about Klaus.
Like, if Klaus and Elijah were the two Muppets in the balcony, I'd like that.
Elijah's not snarky enough.
Oh, he would get there, though.
You would hope.
I mean, if he had to watch this show, he would be hilarious.
Why do we have to have Cole back and not Elijah? Where is my darling?
I know. Like, who wants... No one wants to see Cole.
Seriously. Okay, so back to the beginning.
Yes.
We have this memorial for Carol Lockwood at the school. So, and my question is this a thing? Because when I was in high school, there were a few kids that died in drunk driving accidents, including one who was the son of one of our teachers.
He
was my driver's ed teacher.
Oh.
His son was actually, it was really sad. He was crossing the street like the day after Christmas in the morning. And he got hit in the crosswalk by a woman who was drunk at 7 o'clock in the morning. It was really tragic. We didn't even have an assembly for him. And his dad worked at our school.
God.
So, is this a thing or is this the Vampire Diaries thing? Is this a Mystic Falls thing that we have these assemblies at school that are mandatory to introduce the new mayor as if the kids give a fuck?
I am trying to remember this one situation. I know that we had, like, not an assembly, but they made it very announcement in the morning when one of the guys that I went to school with, I kind of would call him a friend. He was a really sweet guy. He killed himself. Or he died by suicide, sorry. So that was kind of a memorial-ish. Like, they wanted to be very clear what was going on with us.
Yeah.
Which I think is probably the best thing they could have done in that situation. It was a nightmare. But I think there was one kid whose dad was a trustee who got more attention than, like, in the same year that this kid died, 5 fathers in a class of 101 students died.
Wow.
It was just really bizarre. And so one of the dads got noticed because he was a trustee of the school.
Right, and that's specific to the school.
Yeah, so I don't know.
This is like, why is this happening at the school? Why isn't it, if you're going to have some kind of memorial like this, you have it for the town because she was the mayor. She wasn't the principal.
Yeah, it doesn't make much sense. Like, yes, she was the parent of someone.
Right.
But who, like, I don't know who's the mayor of my town, and I am 42 and should know these things.
I only know who the mayor of Atlanta is because she fought so hard for our quarantine to happen.
Well, and like, also it's a major city too, so as opposed to like some dinky town like Falls Church.
Right.
Sorry, Mystic Falls. Sorry.
Mystic Falls.
That wasn't even on purpose, guys, I swear.
Sheriff Forbes is giving this speech glorifying a Carol Lockwood we've never met. And Tyler is over this. Like, as over it as I am. Because the person she's talking about is not the Carol we ever saw.
Yeah.
So Tyler leaves. Elena thinks she sees Rebecca, but when she looks again, she's gone. So she heads out in the hall to look for her. And in the meantime, Sheriff Forbes introduces the new mayor, a man named Rudy Hopkins. And I thought, well, he's black, so he must be Bonnie's long-lost dad that we've never met and barely heard about. And surely is qualified for this job.
I mean, at least they do give us that, like, she asked 7 billion other people before he said yes.
I just don't understand democracy in this town. I'm pretty sure the mayor is an elected official.
In situations like this, the mayor often gets appointed for a period of time. Do you remember Parks and Rec?
I do. They did ask a lot of people before they got to Jerry.
Yes.
In the hall, Elena finds April crying, and she starts to say that the memorial is bringing back feelings about her dad's death, but then she drops the bomb that she knows Elena is a vampire, and before Elena can react, Rebecca comes out of nowhere and snaps her neck. April's like, that was a lot. You didn't have to do that. And Rebecca's like, yeah, but it was fun. After the memorial, Caroline is calling Stefan to find out why he wasn't at the mandatory assembly. And he's like, well, I'm at this mandatory all-day drinking party.
How is it that these, like, he is known as a high school student and is sitting in a restaurant drinking heavily in front of everyone?
Compulsion?
Of the entire town?
Everybody in the bar, I guess? I don't know.
I guess, like, it's just hilarious that, like, every kid drinks heavily on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. Granted, he's a vampire. I don't really care. He's 100 million years old. But, you know.
He's about 150.
Same difference.
Caroline can't deal with Stefan spiraling while Tyler is also spiraling, even though Tyler isn't talking to her about it and is instead walking around angry that the town is covering up a vampire murder. As if the town hasn't been doing that since its founding. As if Tyler hasn't benefited from this personally in the past?
It's his mom.
Right. Be mad that your mom was murdered, but don't be mad that there are systems in place that directly make your life easier because your mom was the fucking mayor.
I mean more that, like, he's not going to be in a rational headspace.
I do get that, too.
Okay.
But being pissed off that the town is covering up her murder, when of course they are, Tyler. Are they just supposed to make a big announcement?
The big joke is that she's just a drunk who died because she was drinking.
Well, it's not a joke.
No, it's really not, but I think the...
She pretty much was drinking every time we saw her.
Oh, yeah, so... I mean, so is every other character in the show besides... Right. I don't think we've seen Liz drink, have we? She probably has. Everybody has to drink heavily.
I don't think we have, because if we ever really see her, she's in an official capacity and her job doesn't have the sort of leeway of, like, drinking at these social events the way that being the mayor would.
Yeah. Is there another character that hasn't like, drank?
I don't think I've ever seen Bonnie. Well, that's not true, because she was drinking with Elena and Caroline.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
April?
Yeah, maybe. I'm sure she'll drink by the end of this this season. No, she drank beer at Rebecca's party.
Did she?
I think she did.
Hmm. All right, so no one.
Yeah.
Anyway, Caroline tells Stefan to get it together. Hangs up on him. Elena wakes up in the library. April's sitting at the table, and she immediately is like, how many times have you compelled me and don't lie because Rebecca told me that you lie? And Elena's like, Rebecca isn't who you think she is. And April's like, what, 1,000-year-old original vampire?
That made me so happy.
Elena says they need to get out of there, but Rebecca stops her and compels her to sit down. Out at the lake house, Damon is wallowing and listening to a voicemail from Elena where she's talking about how she wants to be near him. He pauses it, I guess, and focuses on Jeremy sparring with Matt. He's not impressed, so Jeremy tells him to actually teach him something. Damon tells Matt to sit this one out, and then Vamp speeds to get Jeremy in a headlock, and he's basically choking Jeremy to death to prove his point.
Yep.
But is saved by the pizza delivery girl showing up. Damon's like, what the fuck? More pizza?
And it's like he doesn't remember being a teenage boy.
Maybe not. And back then, it's not like you could just order pizza every time you're hungry. So he pays the pizza girl, compels her not to come back. He then tells them to run around the lake twice if they want food. They're annoyed, but they do it.
Mm-hmm.
And once they're gone, he finishes listening to Elena's voicemail.
Which is sad.
Back at Mystic Falls, Stefan gets a call from Rebecca and is informed that she's holding Elena hostage at school. He wonders who was dumb enough to take the dagger out of her. And she's like, I'll be the one asking the questions. And says she'll see him soon. Hangs up. So he calls Caroline, fills her in, and is like, hey, do you want to drive this stake through Rebecca's heart? And she's like, yeah, if it means you're going to stop drinking yourself into oblivion. Sure. I can't believe these stupid idiots brought that stake. We'll get to it. Just seriously.
Nobody's thinking at all. Like, okay, maybe Stefan's drunk and maybe Caroline's just distraught. But God forbid anybody takes a second to go, we're probably going to lose.
This is our only weapon to kill these people. And it's indestructible. This is the most powerful weapon we have. Here, Caroline, you take it. Not that Caroline's not capable, but she cannot face off against a 1,000-year-old vampire. Neither can Stefan.
Nope.
These people are dumb. Anyway. He leaves the grill. And we pan over to see that Sheriff Forbes is with the new mayor. She compliments his first speech, then starts filling him in on the real stuff that's going on in town. He has guesses about what actually killed Carol. She asks him if he's sure he wants the job since he wasn't their first choice. He says that he said yes for a reason, and that reason is his daughter, who has just walked in. Bonnie comes to the table and Liz leaves, and Rudy wastes no time noticing that several of her friends weren't at the mandatory assembly. And she's like, look, you can't just come in and start making rules. You've been a traveling salesman who's never around. He thinks the town could use some rules. She reminds him that she can protect the town, and he is like, I am well aware of your gifts, but as your dad, I'm supposed to protect her.
Where have you fucking been?
I'm supposed to protect you. Exactly. So where the fuck has he been this entire time since her grandmother died and she hasn't had a guardian?
I was so annoyed. I was just like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Right. It's like, when I was in high school, I didn't have a curfew because I never did anything. I hung out with my best friend who lived two streets over. So I was either at her house or she was at my house. Sometimes we would hop over the fence in my backyard and walk around the golf course. Sometimes we would go over to one of our mutual friends' houses, which we would cut through the golf course to get to her house. But I never did anything. I didn't drink. I didn't smoke. I didn't do anything. So I never had a curfew. But when I graduated and I got a boyfriend, my dad tried to force me into having a curfew. I was over 18 and he was like, you need to be home by 9 o'clock. And I was like,
nine o'clock?
Yeah. I'm like, you can't just suddenly decide that I have a curfew when I've never had a curfew before. You have to trust me. I'm not going to be home at 9. That's ridiculous. I'm 18. That's on a different scale is this, but like, this guy has been non-existent.
Yeah. Like, people have died. Multiple people that she knew have died, and he hasn't even been there for that part of it.
He wasn't there when her grandmother died.
I mean, I'm kind of glad because they wouldn't have cast such an awesome dude back then because he's already well-known enough. I don't think they would have snagged him. But as a character, he can go to hell.
So Caroline and Stefan are at the school searching for Rebecca. Caroline has a stake, as I said. Rebecca finds Stefan first, so we think. He asks what she wants, and she's like, well, I want the cure. They tussle, and she says that she hopes he isn't waiting for Caroline to show up and stake her, since she already found Caroline and took the stake. So, great plan, guys. That worked out really well. Now the originals have the only weapon in the world that can kill them. Smart.
This was annoyed.
Such a poorly thought out plan.
Like, they're really great friends, and I like when they're being friends with each other, but Caroline and Stefan are not exactly the brain trust.
They're not usually this stupid. This is particularly stupid. She has Elena at the school, and you think you're going to walk in, the two of you, no backup, with the white oak stake, and just kill Rebecca.
Yeah, you're walking into a trap. It is literally a trap.
Rebecca brings Stefan to the library. Elena greets him, and he ignores her. She informs them that they've all been compelled, and they will answer her questions honestly. She tells April to take notes, which April takes literally, and later Rebecca sends her away to go get some pushpins and stuff.
She's so cute.
They go over what Rebecca knew about the map and the cure before she was daggered, and she wants to know why, since they probably have a hunter and a map and the sword, why they haven't gotten the cure yet. She wants to know what went wrong. And Stefan tells her that they don't know anything, and she's surprised since Stefan said he'd take the cure so that he could grow old with Elena, which surprises Elena. Rebecca notices this reaction and asks what she's missing. And they're not answering, and so Caroline says, they broke up, okay? Rebecca is delighted by this and asks Stefan what happened, and he says that Elena slept with Damon.
That's not how it happened!
It's not how it happened. You're right. They broke up before. They broke up because she has feelings for Damon, and he knew that, because she told him, and then she slept with him.
Yeah, like, dude, you're under compulsion. You're not supposed to lie.
I think he's Cersei Lannistering this, and he's forgotten the order of the way things happen. All he's thinking about now is she slept with Damon.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we broke up. Forgetting the fact that she broke up with him. He didn't break up with her.
Yep.
And all this stuff happened after they broke up.
Yeah. Well, because it's easier to have Damon be the bad guy.
Yep. So we have more training of Jeremy. He's not fast enough to hurt a vampire. Klaus shows up to their surprise, and he wants to know why he's not smelling the rotting vampire flesh everywhere. He asks how many vampires Jeremy has killed. Damon thinks he's not ready. Klaus is like, that's not a number. 12. That's a number. That's how many of my hybrids I slaughtered with my sword. 3. That's how many days it took to quell the urge to kill your brother after he knowingly watched as I walked into a trap. 1. That's the number of purposes you serve. So how many vampires? 0, Damon says. I love Klaus. I just...
He's such a dick.
He's so entertaining.
You know that he just goes through what he's going to say ahead of time?
Oh, I'm sure. He practices it on the whole drive.
Oh, I like, his showers must be 2 hours long.
So, the 0 number doesn't please Klaus, who has a hybrid shortage now and needs a cure sooner rather than later. So he's like, how can I help? Damon shoots him with these wooden bullets and says, that's for Carol Lockwood.
Yes.
Rebecca, meanwhile, wants to know how sweet, innocent, loving Elena could hurt Stefan like this. And Stefan reveals that Elena is sire to Damon. Rebecca's curious about this. She wants to know how Elena feels about that. And Elena thinks that Rebecca is bored and in need of a hobby. Rebecca thinks that Elena is hiding something and tells her to tell them what it is. And what Elena says is that she didn't sleep with Damon because of the sire bond. She slept with him because she's in love with him and seems to be surprised as these words come out of her own mouth. Stefan is hurt. Elena is shocked. Caroline is surprised and also wants to know what this has to do with the cure. And Rebecca's like, hey, you're right. We got off topic.
She's such a bitch.
How can we find the cure? And Stefan feeds her Shane. Speaking of whom, he's being inundated with Bonnie's complaining about her dad. She wants to know if there's some kind of magical therapy that he hasn't shown her yet. And he's like, you know, you don't need my help anymore because you've learned everything you need to know. Here's this pendant made of human bone. Legend says it was worn by Ketsia, who drew on it for strength. Now go on your way. I have some papers to grade. So she leaves. And as she walks down the hall, she passes Cole. And at first she's like, oh, hello. Keeps walking and then is like, oh, fuck. Turns around and runs back. But vampires are pretty fast.
Yeah.
1,000-year-old vampires are especially fast. And Shane is gone. Tyler gets a call from Rebecca using Caroline's phone. If he's really as mad at Caroline as she thinks he is, he wouldn't have answered. But he does answer.
Yeah.
And Rebecca tells him to come to the school because she's got Caroline hostage. And he responds by breaking his phone by throwing it at the wall.
All they do is break shit.
Yeah.
They break shit and drink. They don't even know things.
They really don't know things. They know some things, but not most things. Cole brings Shane to the school. Back to the lake house. Klaus wants to know why Jeremy hasn't killed any vampires. Damon talks about how he needs to protect himself before they can go after actual vampires. Klaus suggests just going into town and making the people there into vampires. Damon asks if Klaus thinks that didn't occur to him. Klaus is like, I think it did. But I think you want to impress Elena so much that you won't actually do it. Damon doesn't deny this. So Klaus tells him that he's already made the necessary adjustments. And that's when we see that Chekhov's pizza girl has shown up.
Yep.
She tells Matt that her car broke down and her phone is dead and asks if she can use his phone. And he's like, yeah, sure, come in. And she tries to come in, but she can't. She doesn't understand why, because she's a brand new vampire.
Whose human blood did she drink?
Don't know.
I'm just saying.
So then Jeremy comes out and is like, oh, hey, what's going on? And she gives the same story. And he's like, well, I'm going to take a shower, but go ahead and come on in. So she walks in.
I'll be honest. If I were a delivery girl, I wouldn't be totally cool with going inside the house of two guys I don't know.
Well, maybe she thinks they're really hot.
I mean, yes, but still.
Anyway. She's also a vampire, so I don't think she really cares.
That's fair.
Cole and Rebecca bring Shane to a janitor's closet. Shane is just tickled to be around two original vampires.
He can't believe his luck. Fucking weird.
Rebecca tries to compel him to tell her where the cure is, but he's like, yeah, that doesn't work on me. And Cole's like, oh no. Then Rebecca's like, okay, cool. Cole, go ahead and beat him until he tells you where the cure is. And she goes back to the library, where the three hostages are just sitting there in their seats. She decides that it's time for truth or dare, starting with Elena. Elena picks dare. And Rebecca dares her to tell Stefan the truth about Damon. Caroline is outraged.
You know, like, the answers were boring, but the, like, it's like the substance was no good, but the form was amazing.
I actually liked Caroline, or Elena's answers. She says that being with Damon makes her happy. When she's with him, she feels unpredictable and free. She says that lately she feels like she's a project, a problem to be solved by Stefan. She thinks that she makes him sad, and she can't be with someone like that because he makes her feel like a broken toy. And she's not wrong.
No, she's not. It's stuff we've already heard.
I'm glad that she actually feels this way. Because that's exactly how he's been treating her. Like she's broken and he needs to fix her. And maybe that's because she had said she didn't want to be a vampire. But now that she is, instead of trying to fix her, he should just be trying to help her become a better vampire. And not make her feel guilty about things like maybe having to kill a person now and then.
Yeah.
Or just teach her what Damon was teaching her to not kill them.
It's wacky. It's so wacky it just might work. It's like, he thinks Caroline is the best thing since sliced bread. And she's a vampire, but his girlfriend can't be a vampire. That would be wrong.
Well, Elena can't be a vampire.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. So Rebecca's having a ton of fun with this, and she asks Elena if she still loves Stefan, which Elena says yes. She asks if Elena is still in love with Stefan, and Elena says no.
Ugh.
Rebecca asks Stefan if this hurt him, and he says yes. She then says that's what the, like, welcome to the last 900 years of my life. I don't think it's quite the same.
No.
So Tyler comes in to Rebecca's relief because this has gotten very depressing. She tells the compelled vampires that they can't leave the building and they can't vamp run. From what? Tyler. She's telling him he needs to turn. They've served their purpose. Shane can tell her how to find the cure. So they're really just competition now. The pizza girl attacks Matt. Jeremy comes in and kills her. The mark on his arm grows. Bonnie arrives at the school and runs into April, who's like, what do you have, like, witchy GPS? And Bonnie's like, what? And April's like, oh yeah, Rebecca told me everything. You guys are all a bunch of liars. And she reveals that Shane is there, so Bonnie starts looking for Salt because Shane can't be compelled, and April helps her. Bonnie starts this spell to protect Shane, and she's using this pendant that he gave her to connect her to him. And somehow, she accidentally links Shane to April. So anything that happens to Shane starts happening to April. So when he starts drowning, April starts drowning. When he gets skewered, she starts bleeding. There's all this torture going on, and Rebecca stops Cole from drowning Shane, which luckily also saves April at that moment. Cole says that Silas will kill them all. Oh, right. They ask him originally, why are you looking for the cure? You're not a vampire. And he's like, I don't care about the cure. I just want to get to Silas. And Cole's like, no, absolutely not. You need to die.
It's because it's a terrible name.
I don't know anybody who hates that name the way that you do.
Really do.
So he starts trying to kill Cole, or Cole starts trying to kill Shane because he doesn't want Silas to come back. And Rebecca's like, what the fuck are you even talking about? Silas is just like a boogeyman that people tell their kids to get them to eat their vegetables. And Shane's like, no, Silas is real. I know where he's buried. I have the spell to wake him. Cole's like, you're lying. And Shane's like, here's all my cards. I'm going to give them all to you. I know where he is. I have the tombstone that will help me wake him up. I've had the sacrifices done. I'm the one who killed the council. And I have a witch. And so then Cole's like, fuck you. Thank you for telling us everything you know. And then shoves a pipe through his stomach. Why, in the middle of being tortured, would you tell them everything when the whole reason that Cole is trying to drown you is because he doesn't want Silas to be brought back? And then this stupid nonsense about, like, yeah, the council was a sacrifice, but they'll all come back. Like, what?
I don't really understand the point of this character, honestly.
I'm sorry. I just got a message from one of my fellow managers who says it's snowing.
What?
I'm not okay with this.
No, it's not snowing.
I can't look outside right now because I'm tied to my microphone and my headphones. So I'm going to send a quick message to Jason, who's in the living room, and ask him.
Don't cut this out. Don't cut this out. Let everyone enjoy this.
Guys, I don't hate snow, but I don't like snow. And I have errands to run tomorrow, and I don't want to deal with it.
It's apparently supposed to start snowing in Atlanta at 8 p.m. tonight.
No! I looked at my app this morning, and it specifically did not say snow.
I'm so sorry.
I'm looking at it right now.
I'm so sorry.
It still doesn't say... It does say snow. God damn it. Only for a couple of hours. I'm sure it won't be a lot. It'll probably be as much snow as I got on my Animal Crossing island yesterday. But still, it's more fun on that game than it is when I have to scrape it off of my car.
You're adorable.
Anyway, why do I ever think about moving to places like Chicago or Seattle where I'd have to deal with rain and snow way more than I have to deal with here?
Because you're tired of living in the South?
I really don't like living in the South. I love Atlanta, though. I don't mind living here, but I dream about, like, maybe living in Seattle would be really fun. And I really loved Chicago. I completely fell in love with that city. I would kind of like to live there. Then I have to remind myself that snow. All right. Back to this. So April's bleeding.
Go ahead. So April's bleeding. Teehee.
In the library, Tyler starts to turn and he yells at them to get out, which they do, but he chases Elena and Stefan. They manage to block a door and after a bit, he leaves, which is strange, but we find out he managed to gain control of himself, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
Rebecca is pissed that Cole killed her only chance at finding the cure, and he's like, I did you a favor, since Silas would be hell on earth. He reveals that he got the white oak stick from her without her realizing it, so great job there, Rebecca. Now the worst of you has it. I honestly would rather Klaus have it.
I mean, what's he gonna do? Kill original vampires? Oh no.
He could destroy it.
It's indestructible.
I don't want him to have it.
No, I just want him to be dead. That would be cool. Maybe he'll just impale himself because Silas is coming, so it's better to be dead.
That would be funny.
I would be very excited about it.
So he leaves. Once they're both gone, Shane opens his eyes. Elena and Stefan find Bonnie with April. Bonnie's like, oh my god, I did this spell, and I linked her to Shane. And I don't know how that happened. So Stefan gives April his blood so that she doesn't die. And he tells Bonnie to get out because Tyler has turned and is on the loose. They're compelled, so they can't leave. So Bonnie and April leave, and Elena tries to talk to Stefan, but he still doesn't want to talk to her. She says that she's sorry, and he asks for what, and he says, for what? That it happened, or that I found out? And she's like, well, all of it. Then Rebecca comes in, complaining that her least favorite people are so adorable. Caroline goes into the gym and finds Tyler naked on the floor, no longer a wolf, so she wraps him up with a tablecloth or something and holds him as he apologizes and cries about not being able to save his mom. In the classroom, Stefan tells Rebecca to leave Elena out of this, and she's like, what the hell? Like, you're still protecting this girl? Like, why? Here's a suggestion. How about I compel you to forget all about Elena, same way that Klaus made you forget all about me? And he's like, okay, do that. And Elena's hurt by this. Rebecca's surprised that he would go for it. And she's like, I was never going to do that. I want you to suffer. She turns to Elena and says that at least now she knows how he really feels. Tells Stefan to enjoy his misery and that they're free to go. She leaves. Stefan leaves. Elena calls him and he ignores her and walks out. Back at Shane's office, he says that he miscalculated and that Cole is going to be a problem. And Bonnie's like, how about the fact that I almost killed April because you never told me that this magic would do this? And he's like, well, you just don't know the extent of your abilities.
I just wanted to just break him in two.
And I'm like, oh, hold on a second. Didn't he just say a little while ago that she's learned everything she can from him and she's good now?
Mick Sleazy.
But now he's like, you just don't know the extent of your abilities. And she's like, my father is a mayor and I can't be doing black magic. And he's like, that's not what expression is. It's not good or bad. It has no limits. So I have to teach you how to control the limits. Even though I just told you, you were great. You don't need any more training. Here's a bone pendant. Go do some magic all willy-nilly.
He is the... He's just every sleazy guy I've ever met.
How so?
Just... No, don't worry about it. It's not good or bad. You just have to, like, accept it. And, like, if you're cool with it, it'll be fine. Insert there's drugs, sex, anything at all.
There's a bit of that. But there's also this, like, I don't have to teach you anything anymore. You're great. But also, I have to teach you stuff because you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, you know. Like, gaslighting to the extreme.
Is it gaslighting or is it bad writing?
I mean...
Did the writers... I don't know.
I think the writers might have made a mistake here or there, but he is just like every creepy dude ever.
Yeah.
Just so far, they haven't really made him into Bonnie, as far as I can tell, and I appreciate that.
Yeah. No, he's not like... He's not sleazy in that way. He's not trying to... This isn't like a Lolita situation.
No, he's using her just very differently.
Right. She's a very powerful witch. And he needs her to do this spell, whatever it is. So then we've got Damon burying the pizza girl's body when Elena calls. She tells him that Stefan knows about them, and he's like, okay, how did he handle that? And she's like, how do you think? How's Jeremy doing? He's like, well, that depends on how much you trust me. And she's like, well, I trust you. And he's like, okay, well, Jeremy will be fine. And he tries to get off the phone, but she stops him, and she's like, well, I realized something today. Maybe it's a sire bond. But I swear that this is the most real thing I've ever felt in my life. Mm. I love you. And his face is the face that will break a million hearts. He looks so happy. Without even smiling. He just looks so happy. And he's like, okay, I'm going to get the cure for you. And that means I'm going to have to do some things you don't like. But for now, I need you to get in your car and come here. And she's like, all right, I'll be right there. So I guess that whole setting someone free thing doesn't work, or it did work, but now she's not acting under the sire bond. It's hard to tell.
Yeah. It's just goofy. I don't like it.
Do you think that there's a way that this question will be answered? Is it going to take her having to take the cure so she... Like, they can see how she really feels.
I kind of want to see if they hit her on the head hard enough, will it work? Like, you know, you, like, bap a computer to make it work.
Do you mean, like, when Loki took over Hawkeye and all it took was Black Widow punching him a few times in the head?
Yes!
For him to break out of that spell?
Yes! Or maybe transfuse her blood or, I don't know, something. Something that's not the cure. I don't think the cure is going to fix it.
Fix what?
There are 8 seasons. I don't think in season 8 they're still going to be like, well, she's sired to Damon, but that's fine. So I think it's going to happen. I just don't think the cure is going to be the way it happens.
So does that mean you don't think she's going to take the cure?
I think, like, they're going to lose the cure. Like, they have to give it to Silas to stop the evil from happening because he's the big bad. And so, in a grand sacrifice, because this show is all about sacrificing and brothers, Elena sacrifices her free will because she's sired to Damon and kills Silas with the cure or something. I'm really sold on this, by the way.
He can break the bond by setting her free, which he did.
Yeah, but they got back together. He was supposed to never see her again.
I don't think that was specifically stated.
I swear it was.
I'll have to go back to that episode from New Orleans and see what she says. I'll do that in a minute. So Stefan is at home drinking when Rebecca shows up. She wants to know why he called her, and he wants to know if she still wants to find the cure. And she's like, yeah, I do. And I want to ram it down Klaus's throat and watch him as he realizes that he's mortal, except that we can't because Shane is dead. And Stefan informs her that Shane is not dead. She's like, he is. I watched Cole kill him. And he's like, well, probably shouldn't have left because Bonnie did a little spell and he's fine. She says that he didn't have to tell her that, so why is she here? And he says she's right that he'll be around for an eternity and he needs to know how Elena really feels about Damon. Stefan!
How many times does she have to tell you?
How many different ways does she need to say it? How many witches need to tell you this is not possible if the person didn't already have feelings?
Why doesn't Rebecca say she's told you under compulsion? What the fuck is your problem?
Right. What she told you is the truth. Sirebond or no, that is the truth to her. Whatever. So she tells him about Shane's agenda and the council reveal, and she figures it's not a coincidence that 12 hybrids died at Klaus's hand. Stefan puts the pieces together and realizes that this is expression. He says that they'll need to figure out how to manage Shane while they find the cure themselves. And she's like, what's we? Who's this we that you're talking about? And he says, I hate my brother. You hate your brother. Damon has Jeremy, Klaus has the sword, Shane has Bonnie. We are the only ones without an advantage. So why don't we team up? We don't see her answer.
Of course they team up. But also, why do you hate your brother? Because he was actually pretty decent about the whole thing until Elena fell for him?
You hate your brother because Elena developed feelings for him? But you knew that. You knew that before she became a vampire.
Yeah.
Because she'd been spending so much time with him, she told you.
And then you forced her on a road trip with him.
Yeah.
Like, all of this is your doing.
Maybe this is all because Stefan, as a way to keep himself from spiraling into a ripper and being completely out of control, said he can't admit that this is all his own fault. So he has to place the blame on someone. And he can't allow himself to hate Elena, and she is the person he should be mad at. Not his brother. Damon didn't make this happen.
Even if he has to be mad at someone, it doesn't make sense to be mad at Elena either. It's not like she was like, oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to fuck over Stefan.
He should be mad at Meredith because she's the one who gave Elena Damon's blood in the first place.
Yeah.
It's not like Damon even intended for her to be a vampire.
Yeah.
He didn't feed her his blood.
No.
To save her life. Meredith did.
I mean, be mad at Rebecca. She's the one who killed her.
Seriously. There's just... Oh, be mad at no one. These things happen. She's fucking 17.
Yeah, like... Why do you want to be with a 17-year-old or 18-year-old? Oh, no.
She's a kid. She's trying to figure out who she is. And while she was 16 and 17 or whatever with you, she was that person. But she's growing. She's changing. It happens. You've lived for 150 years. You should fucking know it.
You also should have grown the fuck up in that period of time. You're the fucking worst.
God, Stefan. It's so rare that I am annoyed with Stefan, but this is one of those times. We have the scene with April telling the mayor and the sheriff that Shane orchestrated the deaths of the council members. I don't know why these two can't be doing business in the actual mayor's office.
One or the other. Whatever. Right.
Anyway. Damon brings Jeremy and Matt to the bar in town. Everyone's dead. Klaus is waiting for them. He informs them that everyone's in transition and Jeremy's going to have to kill them. And Jeremy turns to Damon and says that Damon was going to convince Klaus to do it another way. And Damon's like, well, I liked Klaus's idea better. And Klaus gives this smile that I have to say is so cute.
Why do you think creepy evil is cute?
It's the dimples, Krista!
Oh my god.
When he smiles big enough that his dimples show, he looks so cute.
That I
forgive him for his bad behavior.
He is evil.
He is.
Oh my god, like, thank god you have Jason, because you would just be a nightmare of a friend if you were single.
No, I don't like these types of people in real life.
Okay.
Never.
Okay.
I've actually never, like, none of the guys I've ever dated have been, like, outright assholes. Like, they might not have treated me well because we were young and they didn't know what they wanted and whatever. It's a totally different thing. But that doesn't mean that they were, like, you know, the dominant personality trait was that they're a dick.
Okay.
I don't like those kinds of people. You know, I don't like people like, I don't like assholes. That's why I hate most people.
I know. I mean, fair.
But on TV, those characters are always very entertaining.
I'm just saying sometimes I have concerns about your type.
No, my real type is very different from my TV type. That's where we end. We end with my question about how are these vampires, they're not. So I guess we have to wait and see how they become vampires.
Yeah, I think poor Matt is going to get like, hey, easy blood bag. Although really, if they just bit Jeremy, they'd be fine too. He's human. Yeah.
Maybe there's just like a doggy bowl somewhere with blood in it.
Oh, God.
All right. So only a couple pieces of trivia.
Okay.
This episode, After School Special, is the same name of a Supernatural episode.
Oh.
That also starred Candace Akala.
Oh.
It was the 13th episode of season 4. So it's been a really, really long time since then. She must have been really young. I don't remember what that... Is that the episode where Dean is a coach?
I do not know.
Do you remember that episode? Where they have to, like... Or is it the... It is! Where Dean is, like, a basketball coach or something, or gym teacher.
Oh, yeah. They're at their old high school.
Yeah, and they're, like, flashing back to when they were in high school. I think Candace Akala played Dean's high school girlfriend.
Oh, that's adorable.
I haven't seen that episode in a really, really long time, but it's sort of coming back to me. Also, that episode's pretty funny. The hashtag during the airing of this is the Bexfist Club, which is not an easy thing to say out loud.
No, it's not.
The next episode is called Catch Me If You Can.
I never saw that movie.
It's a fun movie. Hmm. Do you have any ideas of what actually could be happening in the next episode?
Well, I think that the vampires, the newbie vampires, are going to come after the boys. Mm-hmm. So they will have to run.
Okay. Because is it just going to be an entire episode of them running from vampires?
I really hope not, because that would be very boring. I think that Shane's going to go on the run because all his pieces are set into motion. And now he's going to be suspected of murder?
He's going to go on the run.
Yes.
How does that benefit this story?
Because he is going to randomly show up again. But we don't have to worry about him getting killed by the originals again or anything like that. He'll be protected.
By who?
Bonnie will put a protection spell on him. But also just not be buying. If you're not around all these people, your chances of survival greatly increase. Mm-hmm. It's a blast radius sort of thing. Let me think what else. Yeah, I think that's pretty much that'll pretty much be it. It'll be Elena's going to be disappointed in Damon because Damon's okay with people dying and she's not okay with that. And he's going to be tempted to use the sire bond but decides not to do it to get her to comply because that would be wrong. And he wants the real Elena, not just one he can make into a puppet.
Okay. I'm looking for Nandi's little speech about the sire bond. Okay. The bond can't be broken with magic. A vampire only bonds to her sire when she has feelings for him before she turns human feelings. Vampirism only heightens those emotions. You want her free, you have to set her free. Tell her to live her life without you and never think of you again. Stop caring about you and then leave her. There's no other... That's the only way around the sire bond. So it doesn't necessarily mean that he can send her free and be like, don't ever think about me again. Doesn't mean that he needs to, like, leave the show or anything.
I think it does. How can she not think about him if he's right there?
Well, he would need to stop seeing her. Exist away from her. People do it all the time. They live in the same town.
Yeah, but these two clearly aren't doing that. Like, he's hanging out with her brother. There's been no break like that.
Right. He set her free and told her to stop thinking about him. Right?
Maybe she goes to college.
Maybe. Does that does that stop them from interacting?
Only if he stops interacting with her.
What does he say exactly to her at the end of last week's episode? I mean, frankly, you're right that there is no way for him to really break the sire bond without making a clean break. And that would require him to stay away from her in every way possible.
Mm-hmm.
Which he's not really doing at the moment because he's trying to help her brother. He's still involved with her friend group. Says, you're going to go home. I'm going to stay here with Jeremy. I'm going to help him complete his mark. I'll teach him how to hunt. I'll protect him. And we'll kill vampires without you. I'm setting you free. This is what I want. This is what will make me happy. So he maybe isn't really saying the right things. Like, he set her free enough for her to be like, part of me is telling me I don't want to go, but the rest of me is telling me I should.
Yeah. But so it's partially not, don't think of me ever again, because she's leaving him voicemails.
Right. So he didn't do it completely.
Yes.
He half-assed it.
Yep.
All right. So we've settled that. Do you have anything you'd like to plug or anything you'd like to share?
We're going to be watching the last episode of Great British Bake Off on Friday. I think that's December 6th. No, definitely not. December 4th. That's a Friday. At 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So if you are a patron and you want to hang out, check the patrons group in Facebook or on the Mighty Network, because I put little notifications on either one. And it'll be the last episode of the season. We're talking about maybe going to different seasons. Not sure what will happen. It's exciting.
During quarantine, it's very comforting to rewatch that show. So we watched probably 3 seasons, older seasons that I hadn't rewatched in a while. And it had been a long enough time that I couldn't remember on some of those seasons who actually won. So that was fun. I think it still would be a fun thing to do, even if you've watched them.
I have only watched two seasons.
Oh, so you didn't go back and watch any of the other seasons once you guys were done?
No, I did not.
Oh, then you totally should. They're really good.
Okay. Are you going to come with me? It'll be fun.
I can't guarantee I'll be able to be there every Friday.
I know.
But I would definitely try to come as often as I can. Especially because you don't even know the joy that is Sue and Mel.
No, I do not. I do know that I don't like Matt.
Or Mary Berry. Matt's... I don't really like him. I mean, I don't dislike him as a person.
He seems like a nice person. He just doesn't have chemistry, and yeah, he has a good read over voice.
Yeah. I think Noel is funny. Noel makes me laugh every episode.
Yes.
The more ridiculous that Noel is, and especially like my favorite thing now is when Noel makes himself laugh. I love it.
But I have such a crush on him.
He's awesome. It would be really interesting to see what you think of earlier seasons with Mary Berry and Mel and Sue. Okay, so I don't have anything to plug this week. Doctor Who is on a break because Natasha's on vacation.
Oh, okay.
And if you want to find us, you can find us on Twitter @UndeclaredTVD, Facebook Undeclared TVD Spoiler Group, or the Unspoiled Patrons Only group, which you can also get access to Mighty Network Patrons Only group if you become a patron, which you can do at patreon.com/unspoiled. And that's all I have.
No reviews.
No reviews this week.
No reviews.
It was a holiday week this week.
No reviews. No one was thankful for us.
Wow. Wow. That's Catholic guilt, ladies and gentlemen. Right there. That is Catholic guilt tripping. They talk about Jews doing it. And let me tell you, my mom tries. My grandmother's really good at it. But that was a level right there. I'm not going to let her.
Come by it honestly.
I'm not going to let her do this anymore today. Always and forever, motherfuckers.
And there's no Hello, brother. There's so much this hurt can teach us both. Well, there's distance and there's silence. Your words have never left me. They're the prayer that I say every day. Come on, come out, come here, come here. Come on, come out, come here, come here.
Spoiled Network Podcast.